For those who don't know me, my name is Rob Green. I have the privilege of serving here at Faith, overseeing the counseling ministry as well as working in our seminary. And my wife and I have three children. Well, we're taking on the task of handling difficult premarital cases. And I want to just to gauge my audience for a quick second. How many of you have done premarital counseling already? Okay, fantastic. And I would assume, so let me just give you a quick overview of how I like to organize my premarital counseling, and then we'll get to the hard stuff here in a minute. I like to start by communicating to the couples right from the beginning that Jesus has to be the center. Jesus has to be the center. And so our very first conversation is going to be all about their identity in Christ in Romans chapter 8, 31 to 35. Because after all, if they don't have that part right, they're not going to be able to handle it very well when they sin against each other. And that's coming, right? Like, it's coming. It might last through the wedding day, but probably not. So it's coming. In fact, I love it, especially when the young couples come. They're just like, oh man, we are so in love, and she is so wonderful, and he is so awesome. And you know, you have this going, and you think, they can do no wrong. My fiance walks on the clouds. And I just have to remind them, you know, I'm sure he does. I'm sure she does. But there's going to be a moment, and maybe it'll take 3 or 4 hours to get to it. But there's going to be a moment when that person just doesn't respond to you exactly like you were hoping for. So we just begin. First place, starting location, is Jesus is the center. If they're not worshiping him, they are already walking down a path of challenge. And then I like to show how the following subjects are all rooted in that. For example, 1 Corinthians 13. I assign them to go back, read it, think about it, write it out, give me your impressions of it. And then I come back and ask them, here's the answer I want them to give me. There's no way I can do that. There's no way I could do that. Because then they're going to see just how dependent they are on the Lord in order to accomplish that. I mean, I read that list, and after 20 years, I'm convinced I still can't do that. I couldn't do it year one, and I still can't do it now, year 20 either. I just can't do that, not by myself. Jesus has to be at the center. Then we talk about roles and expectations. Can you really fulfill your role if Jesus is not in the center? I mean, guys, how in the world do we love our wives as Christ loves the church if Jesus isn't at the center? Like, how do we ever get that done? So we talk about roles and expectations and how Jesus has to be the center. So every week, the theme keeps coming back. Problem solving. Like, who actually wants to repent? Yes, I was wrong. Who likes saying that? Yes, I sinned against you. Who likes saying that? It's so much easier, at least we think it is, to try to push it under the rug. But we're biblical counselors. We've been in the room for a while. We know that doesn't work very well, right? And so how do you get them to believe that they need to repent? I mean, after all, they're in love. Everything's wonderful. It's fantastic. Jesus has to be the center. We talk about communication. And of course, everybody is convinced. When they come for counseling, they've been married, they're convinced they have a communication problem. Now, they don't really have a communication problem, they have a worship problem. But they like to talk about it in communication terms. And surely, they do need to learn how to communicate, but what happens if Jesus isn't at the center? How in the world do you do that? So I'm assuming that this is like just normal bread and butter premarital counseling for you. Is that right? It's just how you walk through it. Boom, back to Jesus is the center. Back to Jesus is the center. Sex and intimacy, when you have that conversation with them, are we going to believe, are they going to believe for 1 second that they will always respond in a sexual way to their partner as one of giving? I mean, really? That there's never going to be a time in which they're just saying, I want sex for me. They're going to, aren't they? They're going to. So how are they going to survive those moments? Well, Jesus has to be the center. So that is kind of the big bread and butter picture for premarital counseling. But now what happens when we get a more challenging case? In fact, I would like to suggest to you that if you do premarital counseling long enough and you're willing to stick to it, then you're going to have to do it for not just a young man and a young woman who have never been married. In fact, around here, at our church, we don't assume that just because someone is older, that they have all their act together and therefore don't need premarital counseling. It's pretty simple. If you want to get married here, and you want one of the pastors to do that ceremony, then we need to have premarital counseling. It's really pretty simple. You need to have premarital counseling. So it's not just for the young man, young woman who has never, ever been married. In fact, as our society has pushed marriage in a whole host of ways, aren't we seeing the reality of the premarital landscape become even broader anyway? So what are we going to do about that? And say, oh, well, you know, you've been married before, so you probably know how it goes and how it works. And so, therefore, we don't need to do premarital counseling. Our take is, if you're going to get married, and you're going to get married here, and you want one of us to be involved, you have to have premarital counseling. Second, premarital counseling takes longer in these situations, while the length of engagement is often much shorter. You know, the young person, they get married and they'll have a year engagement. The older ones are like, man, the clock is ticking. I mean, we got to get at this like right now. We're going to get married tomorrow. So what can you tell us in the next 5 minutes? It's a challenge, right? We have to wrestle with it. And sometimes we have people who are so convinced, all right, I'm just going to go get married. So boom, there they go. And then they go announce to everyone, yeah, we got married. Woohoo! Isn't that great? Sometimes not so much. Because they find out a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of hours later, that that really wasn't such a smart decision. And we have had a whole host of post-marital counseling from people who decided not to get premarital counseling because they were so convinced, like, we got to get married today, like, right now, woohoo, right now. I want to suggest to you that we're going to have, this is going to be a battle. And if you're the pastor and you're the one who's offering counseling, they're going to push you on that. Look, we don't really need it. You know, we want to get married in the next 3 weeks. And so just give us, you know, whatever you have in 3 weeks, and then we'll be on our way. And they're not going to like it so much, but you're going to have to push them on that. And say, we want to lead you. We want to shepherd you. We want to help you not do something that you're going to regret. Then premarital counseling is often met with some resistance, especially if you are younger than they are. I mean, after all, they know more than you, right? I mean, they know more. They're older. They've been there. Look, man, I was married before you were even born. I failed 3 times, but that doesn't matter. I was married before you were even born. That's all that counts. And so there's going to be some resistance, and if you fall into the younger category, there's nothing you can do about your age, but we can encourage them to come back to say, yes, we need biblical counseling. We need some time to think about this before we jump into this marriage. So here's what I'm going to do. With the rest of our time, I want to talk about 4 scenarios that complicates the premarital counseling a bit, and then give a few guidelines how I think we can walk through that. Now, I'm still assuming that all the things that I just mentioned earlier, that's part of your normal bread and butter premarital counseling, is going on here.